Blog Talk Radio.
There we are. Hello, hello. Okay, let's make sure this is working. Go here. Watch. Hopefully there's no reverb. Let's play on there. Hello, hello. If you're joining, welcome. I don't hear anything. Okay, no audio. We're checking. I'm checking the audio. Hang on. Okay. Okay. Looks like the audio is working. Okay, cool. So I need someone to give me a test call before I start the podcast because I need to know if this works. Someone give me a call at that phone number on the screen, 516-387-1326. And what I need you to do is you guys have to tell me if you can hear the caller. That's the main thing. Of course, I have the let's see here. Okay, someone give me a call. All right, so let me do this real quick. Switch around my background. There we go. Okay, that's better because now it's the right way. What's up? What's up? All right, just waiting for one phone call, 516-387-1326, and then I will start the podcast as soon as I can confirm that I can hear you. It is a hot day in Los Angeles. That is for sure. Actually, you know what? I can test this right here. Hold on. Oh, we did get a call. Okay, let's see. 909, you're on? You're testing? Hello?
Yes. Yeah, Rich, how you doing?
Okay. I can hear you. So now we're going to see if other people can hear you.
Well. Who am I speaking with? This is Brad Bischoff.
Bradley, what's up? Where are you calling in from?
Mentone, California, up here by Redlands in the Inland Empire.
Okay, hold on. I'm coming up. Okay, good. People can hear you. That's amazing. It all works.
Nice.
I love it.
That's fantastic.
How's everything doing? Is it hot out there?
Yeah, it's probably about 95 degrees almost right now.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's hot here in LA as well.
It's pretty
brutal, and where I do my the podcast, my little home studio is the hottest room in the home. So it's like,
oh no,
get in and get. Yeah, it's and we just
yeah
had the
yeah yeah. I think
redone.
I can see a little bit of sweat starting to form on your brow. I might want to get a towel. I
mean, yeah, I'm gonna need to. I'm going through the whole show without a towel, so it's gonna be a
all
shiny
right,
show.
Cool.
All right,
well,
thanks
look forward
for calling
to seeing
in,
it, man.
Yeah, if you want to be on the actual podcast, call in a little bit, and I'll get you on for real, okay? So this was just a test, so
sounds
thanks for
great.
Doing that, and stay cool this weekend. All right, cool. So everything's working. So let me just explain to you how this is going to work, because it's a little different. Hold on. Just talk amongst yourselves for a second.
I said I wasn't going to powder, but I guess I will. Okay.
Now I won't be so shiny, I guess. Okay. That's what they give us for KTLA. It's like a powder puff. You just put it on your face, but it doesn't really work. So whatever. Okay. So here's how it's going to work. I've got the high-tech system. So when you call in, it's delayed, by the way. So number one, two things. You can wait on hold, no problem. It'll let you wait on hold as long as possible. So I'm going to do some stories, and I'm going to come to a caller. So just hang on. If you call in, you're in the queue. It's not like my old system where you got a busy signal. You can just hold on just like a regular radio station. Now, here's the thing. When you're on, make sure that you don't listen to the Facebook feed for when you're supposed to come on. So when I say like 909, you're on, come on up. And some of you might share the same number, so, you know, area code. But, just kind of chime in. So don't go by the Facebook because that's like majorly delayed. But anyway, we are going to start the show. And I think it sounds like everything sounds okay. So I'm going to go ahead and record and start it up here. Okay, here we go. You ready? Why am I a little off center here? Where should we get? There we go. That's a little bit better. Okay, here we go. My thoughts on the iPhone SE after going hands-on. Voodoo is acquired by Fandango. Nintendo tells you to turn on two-factor authentication. Sonos introduces radio and much more. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro, and this is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the tech stuff I think you should know about, and I also answer the questions that you send me. And believe me, you send a lot of them. My name is Rich DeMuro, tech reporter at KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles, staying safe at home this week. This is going to be an episode with your live calls. So I have this broadcasting live on Facebook. I've got the phone number ready to go. You can call in with your tech questions at 516-387-1326. Again, 516-387-1326. If you're listening on the podcast, you press play on your phone. That means you can't call in because it's been pre-recorded. But for everyone else watching right now live on Facebook, you can call in with your tech questions, and I hope that you do. Let's get to the big story of the week. The iPhone SE has launched. Apple sent me one to test out, and I will tell you, Apple really did a nice job with this device because here's the thing they did that they didn't have to do, but they did. And it makes a world of difference. It makes a difference between me actually recommending this device and not recommending it. And at this point, I'm pretty much going to recommend this device to anyone who wants a phone at a good price. And, you know, pictures are probably not the most important thing to them. They're important, but they just want an iPhone. And they want a good smartphone in general. This actually goes past just the iPhone. This is probably the best $400 phone you can get at this point. Because even when it comes to Android phones, when you look at $400 Android phones, the closest comparison I have is the Pixel 3a, which is about that price. But the problem is, even when they come out with the 4a, which is their cheaper version of the Pixel, it's still not going to be as good as this device because you're getting an iPhone. And when you have an iPhone, what do you have? You have the best access to the best apps, the best accessories, the best other Apple products. So you can do things like finally get an Apple Watch. And it's a lot of little things that add up to this being a really good deal at $400. So I have the phone in my hand. I've been playing with it, and it's a smaller device. It only has one camera. And in my story on KTLA today, I explained kind of all the differences, the things that you're getting, the things that you're not getting. And I kind of went through that in the last podcast as well. But the reality is, this is a fantastic device. It's small. The screen is smaller than we're used to on a lot of these big screen phones, especially on the Android side of things. But overall, I can't say enough good things about this device. It has the latest processor that Apple has, which means this phone is going to last you 3 years minimum. You can use this phone for $400 for the next 3 years. And by the way, it's going to get Apple's software updates for that time, which is a huge deal. You buy a Samsung, you buy another device, you don't know when your next software update is coming besides the Pixel. So I love the Pixel and I love OnePlus. Those are the two brands that I think are really very compelling when it comes to Android devices. But with that said, you still don't have the range of accessories that you get when it comes to an Apple device. And you can call me an Apple lover. You can call me an Apple fanboy. I am not. Believe me, I love Android. I actually love the Android operating system. The architecture of that system, I love. In fact, I think it's more flexible. But I will say in recent years, Apple has really done a good job of integrating things in almost a better way than Android does. And I just think that this phone at $400 is a fantastic device, and I can't imagine not recommending it to folks. And that's kind of the bottom line. You don't get the wide-angle camera. You know, you get wireless charging. You don't get a headphone jack, but no phone has a headphone jack. You get good battery life. you get, I think it really comes down to that processor. The fact that you can get the latest processor on this device, to me, is probably the best thing about it. So iPhone SE is a winner in my book. And let's see, can I hear this? Can I do that? Yeah, there we go. iPhone SE is a winner in my book. And I think that Apple, when they come out with their earnings, mark my words, they will sell so many of these devices, it is not even funny. It's going to eclipse what they sold when it comes to regular iPhones, for sure. iPhone 11, it's going to sell more than those because there's so many people out there. The pent-up demand for an inexpensive iPhone is there. And believe me, this hits it. Phone lines are open, 516-387-1326. We've got 951 on the line. Who am I speaking with? Hello.
Well, this is Carolyn.
Carolyn, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a, I don't know whether you deal with tech questions with Facebook.
Oh, of course. I love Facebook.
Okay. Well, I have my face three names attached to it. I mean, you know, I have a first name and maiden name and a, my last name.
Okay.
Okay. Sometime at one point, I opened it under Safari on an iPhone. And now it's just my first name and my last name, but I cannot put it onto a new, I cannot get the app to work on a new phone, on a new iPhone, because
so you've got
somebody has taken over me or something, and Facebook does not answer questions.
No, they do not. Good luck. I get a lot of emails
so
from who
I put in
just
the
can't access
phone number and the password.
Yeah.
I put in the email and the password, and nothing is working.
So, so what happens when you do when you try to do a password recovery? What happens when you type in your email address and you say, I forgot my password. What does Facebook tell you?
Well, at one point I tried that about a month ago and it, I just changed the password.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And what happens? You can't get in?
And, but I just got a new phone and I'm trying to put it in, get the app of the Facebook app to work. And it doesn't work. Now, this is a spare phone for me, so I already have it set up on my main phone, and
right,
I wanted to put
right.
it on the
so
spare
you,
phone.
So you have access to your Facebook on one in one place, but you want to get it in the other place, and you can't seem to do that.
Well, I have access on it on an iPad,
right.
an iPhone, and then
okay.
I want to put it onto another iPhone, and I can't get it
right.
on there.
Well, you should be able to do that for sure. Well, okay, so here's what I would recommend doing, and it could be a little dicey because if you can't get access to your account, you could be locked out of all of these devices. But what I would say is what you need to do is go to your desktop computer, okay? Go to Facebook, and I would go in there, and I would make sure, like, log out and then say, forgot my password. And then I would reset my password. They're going to send you an email to your email account. You're going to come up with a new password. Write that password down. Now go to the other devices, log out of Facebook. Once you're, you know, into the other one, you've everything's worked out. And then I would go log into those two devices. And I think that's going to fix everything. The only issue is if there is some sort of problem or issue with your account and you get logged out, you may not be able to get into any of your accounts, but it sounds like you don't have any issues with the account. It's just more of a nothing's in sync right now. And it might be that you just need to kind of reset your password, like log out of everything, reset your password, and get back in. That's what I would say.
Oh,
that sounds
like
something you want to try?
All
right, Carolyn, let me know if that works, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank
I want to hear
much.
It. I want to hear it. Because we need our Facebook, especially right now. How would you be watching me if you didn't have Facebook, right?
Right. I just sat down to take a break, and you're here, and I watch your show every morning. Well, whenever you're on Channel 5.
Yes. Well, thanks for finding me here. I appreciate it. Kind of fun, right?
Okay.
What else am I going to do on Friday afternoon?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Carolyn, take care. All right, phone lines are open. Area code 516-387-1326. 516-387-1326. Let's see, what's the other big story of the week? HBO Max, you guys ready for another streaming service? HBO Max says that they are going to launch on May 27th. And HBO Max is another streaming service from kind of Time Warner, Warner Brothers, whatever the companies are called. There's so many companies that have merged these days. But it's, I guess, Warner Media, which I think is owned by AT&T, if I'm not mistaken. So this is Warner Media, which is HBO. And let me tell you the brands that are in here. So 10,000 hours of premium content, okay, including new stuff. So some of the brands that are in this lineup include HBO, Warner Brothers, TNT, TBS, True TV, CNN, DC, New Line Cinema, Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, Turner Classic Movies, and others. And yes, Warner Media is a part of AT&T. So this is going to cost $15 a month when it launches. And you're going to have 10,000 hours of content and all kinds of stuff. I mean, they have a lot of original things. They have Friends, obviously. That's going to be a big one because you can watch that. Westworld, Big Little Lies, all the HBO stuff is going to be on there. Big Bang Theory, The Bachelor, Sesame Street, The Bachelor. Wow. Who wants to rewatch that after it's aired? I don't know. Not me. The OC, Gossip Girl, Crazy Rich Asians, A Star is Born, Aquaman, Joker, 2,000 movies in the first year. I mean, this is a lot of stuff. Then they have some classic things like, let's see, what I just see, Casablanca, Wizard of Oz, The Matrix, The Goonies, Lego movies. I mean, this is a lot, but it's, again, it's $15 a month. So are you willing to spend another 15 bucks a month? I don't know about you, but I did tweet recently all the streaming services that I subscribe to, and it's kind of a lot. And the bills are kind of – I looked at my credit card today, and it's literally everything on there is a streaming service. Hulu, HBO Go, what else do we have? YouTube. We've got Netflix. We've got, I mean, all these little things add up. Now, they're not adding up to that much, but it's still a lot when you do 15 bucks a month, $7 a month, $17 a month. I just did Hulu. That was 12 bucks a month for the commercial-free one. So my question is, are you willing to pay another $15 a month for another streaming service? I don't know. It seems like they have a lot of stuff, and I think what's going to work here is that you have so many people that are already subscribed to HBO that I think – HBO Max will be a natural progression for them because they can just go and put that $15 towards there. And HBO has a lot of customers. So we'll see. HBO Max, again, launches May 27th, which can't come fast enough in COVID times. Area code 760. You are on with Rich. Who am I speaking with? 760. You're on with Rich. Hello. Do we have you? Oh, I don't know. I might have to go to the next person. Okay. Let's go to 909. You're on with Rich. 909, you're on with Rich. Hello.
Hey, Rich. This is Sam from Pomona.
Hey, Sam. Wouldn't be a show without you, my friend. How you doing?
That's trying to stay cool.
Oh, yeah. This is actually, I think the air conditioning kicked on in my little room here. But it's wild. I actually went for a run today, and it was hot. I think I got double the workout because I did that. How are you doing? How's Pomona? I remember going to the Pomona. What is it? The Pomona racetrack? What's the thing? The Pomona Fairgrounds?
Yeah, LA County Fairgrounds.
Yeah, I remember going to that many years ago, and it was very hot.
Oh yeah, they always have it in September, and it's the hottest time of the year.
Yes. Why is that in LA? September, October, always the hottest part of the year. What's on your mind
anyway,
today? Anything?
About a year or so ago, I got a deal on one of these Google Wi-Fis, you know, the three pack. I walked into a Best Buy And the guy, the salesman, looks at me and goes, hey, you want to buy one of these for $119? Evidently, somebody online, some big company, mispriced it. So I said, hey, for $119 for a three-pack, I'll buy it. I brought it home. I hooked it up.
Right.
The problem was that all my 2.4 gigahertz stuff wouldn't connect. The 5.6 stuff worked great. So I called Google, and they really didn't have an answer. They gave me some BS, you know, well, you know, go a far away distance, and maybe it'll hook up, and it never did. So it's been sitting in a box in my house. And I was wondering, do you know if they've ever fixed that problem?
Now, is this the original or is this the new one?
No, this is the original.
Google, so it's the original. Okay.
Right.
I'm looking up my Nest Wi-Fi information because they did change the Nest. Now it's called Nest Wi-Fi, right?
Yes.
And so it's a little bit different than the original. So I'm looking up my my press information I got from Google about the Nest Wi-Fi. Let's see, Nest Wi-Fi tech specs. This is the stuff that you really, you know, if you're really feeling lonely on a Friday night, you can jump into. All right, let's see. So Nest Wi-Fi router. Yep. It now has 5 gigahertz and 2.4 simultaneous dual band.
Well, so
that is
the other
answer.
One.
Oh, well,
I mean,
then what?
You know,
so then why didn't it connect?
Well, that was my question. I have a bunch of IP cameras here that are all 2.4, and I'm not going to go out and rebuy those, you know.
Yeah, the IP cameras, I've gotten a lot of questions about that because I remember when the little Wyze camera came out, it was, I think, on 2.4, and a lot of people were telling me it wasn't working with their system. I don't know why that is. In an ideal world, you'd be able to choose which Wi-Fi signal it kind of attached itself to. But I know on Android phones, when they give you some of that functionality, you can. But I know that some of these smaller IP devices just don't let you do it. You know, some of the lesser expensive devices. So I don't know. It does support both. But I think that the problem is that it's putting out both those signals, but you can't choose on that device which signal you want to latch onto. I think that is the problem. Now, you would think in the settings on that device, you would say, hey, I only want to go to the 2.4 setting, but I don't know. It's kind of a mystery, but that's unfortunate.
Well,
you bought the $120 thing, but you never were able to use it.
No. Well, I have a Netgear Nighthawk and an extender, and my house isn't that big. So I get pretty good coverage with what I've got. Well, I've noticed, though, that, you know, they went from a 2-band to a 3-band. Is there any big advantage to going to a 3-band at this point?
What's a 3rd band?
Honestly, I don't know.
I think when they if it says tri-band, I think what that means is that that's what it's using to communicate, because I know these little mesh systems use like a tri-band system to communicate to each other. I honestly don't know on that one. So it just sounds better, right? I mean, tri-band sounds better than dual band. So anything that's more is better, I guess. So, I think one of these days we'll solve all your Wi-Fi woes, but I don't know if that day is today.
All right. Well, thanks and stay cool.
All right, Sam, stay cool. Sam and Pomona, I feel like we need like music for Sam and Pomona. Okay, I would give out the phone number again, but we have so many calls, I don't know if I need to. So my plan with this podcast is to usually do a story, and then that's, you know, the regular format is where I do a story, and then I do a question from a listener. So that's kind of the format I'm going to continue on here because I just, you know, think that's a good one. All right, so I thought this was interesting this week. Samsung announced that they are offering free repairs of their devices for first responders and healthcare professionals. And I think this is really, really important because if you are a doctor, a nurse, firefighter, and I'll go through the list of everyone who's affected, you can bring your Samsung device into a store and get it fixed. Cracked screen, dead battery, battery's not lasting very long, take advantage of this program. It's called Free Repairs for the Frontline. And what they're doing is they're partnering with uBreak iFix. And if you have a Samsung device, it's got a cracked screen or a battery replacement, needs a battery replacement, go into the store by June 30th and you can get it done for free. Here's who qualifies: doctors, nurses, hospital workers, EMTs, police officers, firefighters with valid ID, eligible for one free repair of their Samsung smartphone. Do this. Tell your friends that are a healthcare responder to do this, because this is a big deal. This could be a $50, $100, $150 fix for free, and it's at a limited time only. So if you're saying, Rich, are you crazy? I'm not going into a store right now. Well, you can mail it in as well. So if you feel better mailing it in, you can do that. But the problem with mailing in a phone is, like, let's be honest, you're not going to have your phone for a while. So personally, I'd rather just bring it in there, wear a mask, and uBreak iFix is open, it says, and they are taking the proper precautions to make sure everything is okay. All right, phone lines are open. Area code 516-387-1326. 949, we're going to try again. 949, what's up?
Hello, Rich. How are you doing? This is Jimmy.
Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am fantastic. What's on your mind today?
Okay, I got a question for you. I find myself often on my iPad in my bedroom, and I'd like to know if there's a way to mirror what's on my iPad to my Fire TV.
Ooh, okay. Fire TV and iPad. So you know that the Fire TV is Amazon and the iPad is Apple. So if you're talking about, there's two things you can do. So sometimes apps have the ability built in to mirror the screen, you know, like Netflix, you can cast it, what they call it, to the TV. Overall, when it comes to just like a blanket mirroring, you would have to have an Apple TV for that, as far as I know. Now, there may be a program that does something similar. There used to be one I had a long time ago that would kind of do this, but I think it was called AllCast. Let me see if that's still around. It looks like it's around. It says send videos and photos to your TV. So this may be a solution. You can try that, but the problem is if you're looking at casting your screen specifically, usually that is an Apple specific thing that you need to get. So are you trying to cast something on your screen?
Yes.
So if it's not inside a specific app, then I would probably say you're going to need an Apple TV to do that. That's as far as I know. But if you want to try something like AllCast, you can check that out and see. But I don't think it can do your screen, because that is a Apple-specific thing, because it needs access to your screen. And it's, you know, but if you have an iPhone or an iPad and an Apple TV, it's really easy. It's just you already have your Fire TV. I doubt you want to get a new device just to do this solution. But again,
right,
inside regular apps, it does work a lot of times. And I find that, sometimes it's very confusing, because I have a Chromecast and a Fire TV on my TV in the bedroom, and I never know which one I'm going to when I try to, like, cast something from my phone. So, that's not your problem. That's just my problem. That's kind of the best thing I can think of. And I'm trying to see if there's anything. There's another one. Let's see. I'm seeing All Connect, but I don't know if that one. I think when it comes to the mirroring, it's really going to be, I think it's just built into Apple. And I'm just not sure that that's going to, there's not really a way around that, you know?
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate your help.
All right, Jimmy. Take care, and thanks for calling in on this show today. Appreciate it. There you go. Very cool. Phone number is 516-387-1326. I see you guys on hold. I got you there, and I am not forgetting about you. All right. This week, Google announced that you can finally adjust the sensitivity for your Google devices. So if you have one of these Google speakers in your home, and you know this has happened to you because it happens to me all the time. Google Home, you can now adjust the sensitivity of your device. And it's in the settings, in the device settings, and you basically look for the H Google sensitivity. And you can go through and make it least sensitive, default, or most sensitive. And personally, I would probably do least sensitive for some of the rooms, like maybe in my kid's room, least sensitive, because I don't need that one to kind of fire up when I'm talking. And maybe most sensitive for the ones that I use the most, like the one in my kitchen is the one that I usually like to respond. But again, that is a new feature. It's rolling out gradually, so you might not have access to it right away. But if you go into your Google Home app and you look under device settings and let's see, is there like specific? Yeah, it just looks like device settings and then go into Hey Google. Oop, I didn't want to say that. Sorry. Oh my gosh, I did not want to say that. But if you go into there, you can adjust your sensitivity. And I'm just reading some of the comments on the Facebook Live about the Amazon TV thing. So Daniel says there's an app called Mirror for Amazon Fire. And it says, start by installing it on your Fire TV. Open the app and enable it on your as a device on a receiver. Then grab your iPhone and enable AirPlay. Choose Fire TV from the All Play receiver, AirPlay receiver list. Connect the devices, then pick your content on your iOS hardware and start casting. That may work, but the problem is I think that's still just AirPlay. So if an app is AirPlay enabled, it will enable that. I think what Jimmy wanted was to be able to mirror his screen. And when you mirror your screen, you can literally just see your iPhone or you know iPad screen right on the TV screen, which I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but if you can get that going with just a third-party app, that would be pretty cool. So I think, yeah. 805, you're on with Rich. 805, this is Rich. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Rich. My name is Rachel.
Hey, Rachel. How are you doing? Where are you calling from?
I am actually calling from Woodland Hills, which is 818, but I have an 805 number. So I'm sweating it out at 99-degree weather or something out here in Woodland Hills.
Yeah, it is wild today, huh? Oh, my gosh. It's like it went from such nice weather to crazy. So the good news is I heard that heat and sunlight kills coronavirus. So maybe L.A. is getting disinfected right now. I don't know. I'm not going
totally
as far as drinking.
So too. That would be nice.
What's
so
on your mind?
My question to you is, I am a dedicated Samsung user. I have a Note 8 right now, and I've actually smashed the screen like 3 times. And you break, I fix it, them twice. I don't want to use them a third time now. But it's because I can't get a good screen protector for this curved screen. So I'd like to move to another phone that has a flat screen without those stupid curved edges where I cannot get a screen protector to work. They're just terrible. And it's hard to research this online because I can't figure out who someone told me the Note 10 had a flat screen. No, I looked again, it doesn't. So it's very difficult for me to find something online when I can't go into the Verizon store. So I was just wondering if you knew anything off the top of your head. I was thinking Pixel, but I've had some friends say that they don't think Google's that great with hardware. So I don't know. I'm an Android person.
Well, I think the Pixel is an amazing device, and it is a flat screen, and I can't fully recommend the Pixel 4 because it's not the best device in the world, but it will take amazing pictures. It really, what do you want to do on your phone?
It's just the usual stuff, you know, surfing the web, using my apps for social media, taking pictures. I'm not going to be doing any high-powered, like, you know, I don't even want a note because I don't need that pen. I'm not going to be doing anything. And it's just personal use, nothing high-powered or professional or anything like that.
You're not like an influencer on, like, Instagram or something that needs, like,
No, I am very much not.
Well, I mean, I think the Pixel 4 XL probably would be a decent device. Now, It's a good device. It's not, I don't know if the screen size is as big as the phone that you have right now. Let me see. Note 8 screen size. So that is a 6.3-inch screen. And let's see what the Pixel is. Pixel 4 XL screen size. That's a, let's see. Oh, gosh. Where is it? screen size 6.3. Yeah, so it's about the same screen size.
Okay.
So I don't know. And okay. I like the Pixel, the software. Now, are you dedicated to Samsung? Because if you love Samsung, like if there's certain little features, because they have a lot of little things in their software, it's, you know, you're not going to get all the features, but it's a very clean. And the best way I can describe a Google Pixel versus a Samsung, Google Pixel is very calming because there's not a lot going on. Whereas the Samsung is a lot going on. You're always getting notifications from Samsung things and telling you to sign Samsung Pay.
Yes.
And it's, so, you know, having reviewed many phones over the years, that's the best way I can describe it. The Pixel is calm. It's just simple. It works. It just sits there and waits until you need to do something. Whereas the Samsung, I feel like, is always bugging me to do something.
It is. And that's not a bad thing, honestly, because it's like, I hate the Bixby thing that's on my phone. I've never used it. I don't need to learn another piece of software. I'm just an Android person. You know, I've never used an iPhone. I don't want to go that route. So I think you sold me on the Pixel 4 XL.
No, I think you might want to check it out. Now the pictures, I hope you're prepared because they are going to be fantastic. I mean, so my mom, she regularly uses a Pixel. I get her a Pixel usually every other model. And I recently got her I think it was the 3X I was using. I gave it to her. And I mean, she doesn't want to switch. She loves the pictures. Every time she takes a picture, everyone's like, why is your picture so good? And it is amazing. I mean, you're going to be really impressed with the pictures on that thing. And I think, again, the calm nature of that device. And, you know, I think you'll like it. And it is flat. Now, the case I recommend that if you drop your phone, it's going to be fine, is the Spec Presidio Grip. And I really like that case because it makes the phone just so, like, it's a little bit bigger, but it's not as big as like a giant case, and it just makes the phone so you're not going to drop it. Everything's going to be good, and it's just a really nice little device. So I would recommend that. That's my recommendation. So
that's what I needed to hear because I'm stuck trying to research things online, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I can't go to the store and talk to people. It's like, well, I could, but I don't think I can. But anyway, so that's exactly what I needed, Rich. You're awesome.
All right. Well, Rachel, thanks for calling in, and good luck, and I hope you give me an update on what you think.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much for your time. Have a great afternoon. Stay cool.
Stay cool. All right. Moving right along with the show. So phone lines are open, 516-387-1326. Oh, wow, we're almost done with the show. I can't believe it. This thing goes fast. This week, let's see, Vudu is being acquired by Fandango. So Vudu, near and dear to my heart, because this was a company that kind of revolutionized streaming video and specifically movies. So back in the day, I'm talking back in like 2008, this was a new concept to have every movie in the world available on your TV at any time just by pressing the button on your remote was a new concept. People did not know what this was all about. Back in the day, you had to download things from iTunes, and that took a long time. Even if you had an Apple TV, you had to download at least a portion of the file before you can start playing the movie. And that might take a long time because guess what? You didn't have the fastest internet connection. Then Vudu comes along, and this was a startup. They came out with a box that did something pretty smart. It would preload a portion of the movies in the background, so that when you went on the box, it would say, well, we kind of know a lot of people are watching Trolls right now, so let's just download like, you know, a little bit of Trolls so that when you press play, you can start watching that movie instantly, and then your internet connection has time in the background while you're watching to catch up with the rest of the download. And this was a pretty new idea back then. And actually, Amazon Fire TV, when it first came out, had that same technology. I'm not sure if they still use that technology because now our internet connections are so fast that it may not matter, but this is the reality of it. And I tested this out with my friend, Bald Brian, and he did not like it because his internet was so slow, it did not work at all. So he gave it a terrible review. And maybe it was indicative of Vudu's struggles over the years because Vudu kind of did not get the proper reception it deserved for coming up with this amazing technology. And I think they're there to thank for what we have today. And Vudu ended up being acquired by Walmart. Walmart never seemed to do anything big with them. It just didn't really work out. They never integrated them in a big way into their offerings, or the synergy wasn't there with the stores. And now Fandango is buying them. So now Fandango is buying Vudu. And long story short, if you have movies on Vudu, they're going to be okay. They're going to transfer over to Fandango. And I don't know if the Vudu name is going to stick or if they're going to move it over to Fandango now, but for now it's going to stay. But just know that your movies are going to be safe. If you're doing a movie collection at all and you've got various movies in different places like I did back in the day, check out an app called Movies Anywhere. And what Movies Anywhere does is it aggregates all of your movies from everywhere and anywhere, I should have said, and it puts them all in one place. And so if you have movies on Amazon, on Vudu, on iTunes, it supports, let's see, I'm going to tell you all the different things. It supports a lot of services. And this company was amazing. It still is. It's actually owned by Disney. It was started by Disney. So it works with Apple TV, so iTunes, Prime Video, Vudu, Google Play, YouTube, Verizon, Fandango Now, Xfinity, and Microsoft Movies and TV. So all those movies you can have in one place, and not just like you don't actually even have to go to the app to play the movies. You can just go to the individual apps and they're all synced up. So it's kind of cool. There is one holdout, and that is Paramount Studios. They are not a part of this. So almost every movie is, except anything you have Paramount. So if you have any Paramount stuff, it's just not going to work. All right, enough of old man Rich giving history lessons. So 631, you're on with Rich. 631, hang on, before you come on, 631, I just saw a question on the Facebook Live. Sissy says, why are you not using wireless earplugs? Isn't that the best way to go? Yes, normally, and I do love my AirPods, but the problem is I've got too many Bluetooth things here, and so my AirPods kind of bounce between some of these things. And so when I wire in, I know exactly what I'm hearing and what I can troubleshoot much easier when I'm on a podcast. There's a lot of stuff going on here. I know it sounds easy to you guys as you're watching because you hear your stuff and you call in like a radio station, but to be able to do this at home by yourself is kind of a lot. And so I need to make sure that I have as many issues minimized as possible. So that's why I do the wired earplugs and not wireless. All right, 631, you're on with Rich. Who am I speaking with? 631, hello, 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 you there?
Hello.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Hi, yeah, yes, I'm calling because I have a question about the iPhone XC. And
okay.
I just received an iPhone 11, but I asked a question about iPhone SE, and they didn't give me much information about it. Can you tell me more about what is the difference?
The difference between the iPhone 11 and the iPhone SE. So the iPhone 11 is going to have a bigger screen. It's going to have more camera. So you get a wide angle, and you're going to get a wide angle lens with that device. So you can take wide angle pictures. Let's see. Other than that, that is the biggest difference that I can think of off the top of my head. So you're getting, getting a better camera.
I'm sorry. You say earlier that the SE lasts 3 years, right? So how long does the iPhone 11 last?
I would say about the same because they're both running the same processor. The 3 year kind of timeline I gave was based on the brand new processor and kind of the track record of Apple with iOS software updates. So generally, we've got phones that are about 4 years old that are just kind of edging out of the update approval process, I guess you can say. Like you can no longer get iOS 13 on a certain device. I think it's about a four-year-old device. So when it comes to that, that's kind of what I was basing it on.
Okay, so I think you think the SE is much better than iPhone 11, right?
No, the SE I don't think is better than the iPhone 11 because the iPhone 11, you get more with that device because it is a bigger screen and it is a better camera. So again, it really comes down to the price. The iPhone 11 is also more expensive than this phone. So if you want the iPhone 11, I believe the entry level price is $650. And so if you're talking $650 versus $400, you know, that's a considerable amount of money. So it is, but it depends what you need. I didn't catch your name. What was your name?
Myra.
Myra. So, sorry, the iPhone 11 starts at $699. So you're talking a $300 difference. So Myra, my advice to you, if you're trying to decide between these two things, is do you need a bigger screen and do you need a better camera with a wide angle lens? Those are the two things that set the iPhone 11 apart from the iPhone SE. But again, you're going to be paying $300 more for those two things.
Yeah, because I ask the representative
and I asked
about the screen size, and he said that it will be almost the same as the iPhone 11.
No, that's not true. Screen size on the iPhone 11 is 6 inches. And the other one is 4.7. So there, it's significantly larger screen. So, yeah, there you go. Roger says put the phone on the screen. So there it is. So this is the iPhone SE, and it is considerably smaller than this is my that's my iPhone, and the iPhone 11 Pro Max. So that's going to be, you know, you're talking. This is a little bit bigger than the iPhone 11. It's still, I mean, you can see the screen is going to be a lot, it's going to be bigger on the iPhone 11. That's for sure. So again, I guess also the Face ID, which Ruben brought up, which I kind of forgot, the Face ID is also another one. So do you want that Face ID? Personally, I don't think Face ID is, I don't think that's a feature that you need. I actually personally like the Touch ID sensor better because you control when your phone is unlocked in a much more clear way than the Face ID. So does that help?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
What do you think you're going to go with?
The SE, I believe, because he misexplained me whatever the difference is between the screen. And the one I have is iPhone 7 Plus, but he told me that it was bigger, the iPhone, I don't know, and I want the same size. I wanted the same size of the iPhone 7 Plus.
If you want the same size as the 7 Plus, I would recommend going the iPhone 11 because the SE is going to be considerably smaller. I mean, considerably smaller.
I'd
say considerably, yes. So if you want that big screen life, I think you got to go with the iPhone 11. And if you trade in your phone, by the way, are you going to trade in your device?
No, I am keeping it.
Oh, you're keeping it. Okay, I was going to say because you can get a little trade-in. Yeah, Myra, I would recommend the iPhone 11 just because if you want that big screen, if you're used to it, I would say that's probably the way to go. So good question. And Ruben, thanks for getting me on the Face ID. I guess I don't really see that as a benefit per se. I mean, I like the Face ID, but I'm not totally in love with it. I think it's cool, but it's not like a must-have feature for me. All right, Nintendo. If you have a Nintendo account, run, do not walk, run and set up two-factor authentication on that account because apparently a lot of accounts are getting hacked. And I checked this morning on my Nintendo account, and a lot of times, most of the time if you get hacked on like a random account, not that big of a deal if it's something that's not very exciting. But with a Nintendo account, you probably have a credit card linked to that account if you ever purchase something from Nintendo, like coins or whatever, an app, anything. So I would go in right now to your Nintendo account and set up two-step authentication. Now, when I did it, I had to use an authentication app, which I was looking online to see if they actually will send you a text message, which it doesn't seem like they will. So an authentication app is a little trickier than just setting up like, you know, where they text you a message and it has a little number in it. You've seen that before. So it is a little bit more involved if it's true that they can't do that. I did not see that option because I was all prepared to just put in my phone number and have them text me when someone logs in. But apparently you need one of these apps and you can use a couple. There's Google Authenticator, but the one I like is called Authy, AUTHY. So if you're doing two-factor authentication, Authy is really good. And I find that it's better than Google Authenticator. So I would check out Authy, A-U-T-H-Y, and please set up two-factor authentication on your Nintendo account as soon as you can. If you got one for your kids, please, please, please do that. All right. Oh, my gosh. We're almost to the end of the show. Should I take one more call? Let's see. 562, you're on with Rich. 562, you're on with Rich. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Rich, this is Alan from Long Beach.
Hey, what's going on?
Hot, miserable. And I'm at
even
the
in
beach.
Long Beach? It's,
so what can I do?
Isn't that
Yeah, we only
scary.
Get a little hot out here because the way we're positioned. So.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. So Long Beach is hotter than other beaches, huh?
Usually Long Beach, we've gotten into triple digits. Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach, Hermosa Beach, Sunset Beach, Newport Beach, Huntington Beach. Could be 20 degrees cooler. It's just the way we're being faced, I guess. So.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay. Well, good to know. Well, what's on your mind?
Yep. Well, I have a question with regards to some wireless earbuds. I've been very prone to using Bose. I like the sound. I like the way their ear pieces fit in the ear. It's kind of a secure, as you're talking, it doesn't fall out. I just recently had the wired ones, and I usually keep my phone in my back pocket, and I sat down, and I heard a snap, and that was the end of the pin that went in. I'm currently using a brand called Aeroplex by Aftershock, which is the one that I guess sits on your right by your ear, the sound bone, and you can hear
pretty
good, but the quality is not that great. I did buy a pair of Jabra 65T Elite. I didn't like the sound on that, and half the time the left side would never connect. So what do you – I'm using an Android, Samsung, and I was just wondering what do you recommend? The Aeroplex is kind of cool because, you know, you can still hear, but it vibrates on your sound bone, and sometimes I get a little bit like, you know, hey.
It's a little bit much. I can see that. Have you thought of the Samsung AirPods?
No. You know, again, I like the way the – I know Bose's are very – overpriced, but the sound quality is good, and I like the way the earpieces sit in your ear because they've got that little flange that goes in your ear kind of area.
Well, the Galaxy Buds sort of do that, and in fact, I think they do that more than the AirPods. So I mean,
really?
That's like the new ones at least. They definitely like they pop into your ear, so there's actually a piece that goes into your ear and kind of holds the bud there, and it's very small, very minimalistic. I think the sound quality is very good, and they just came out with a new version. I don't know. I'd recommend those, especially if you have a Samsung device. It's going to work really nicely because you get all the extra kind of Samsung goodness built in. You kind of discounted them. So I'm curious why. Is it just because of the way they fit in your ear, you think?
Other other earbuds, wireless earbuds that I've used before, you know, as you're talking and your jaw's moving, they've fallen out.
Yeah.
Where I found that the way that the Bose had it in. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that happens to me on like almost every set of earbuds that I test. But I will tell you, out of all of them, I felt like the Galaxy Buds actually fell out the least out of any that I tested. So I'm kind of like, I come from a place of, I don't like the things that sit in your ear. So when AirPods came out, I was actually very impressed that they sat in my ear and stayed there because I run a lot too.
Right.
So I need something that's in my ears when I run. And I did run with the Galaxy Buds. I will say when I got sweaty a little bit, I was having trouble with one of them popping out a little bit more, but they really stayed in. I mean, I was pretty impressed with these things. So I would take a look at those. The problem with these earbuds is you can't really try them on. And, you know, I mean, especially with the stores being closed and, you know, all this stuff. But I don't know. I would take a look at those and see what you think, because I was very impressed with them. I would recommend them. I have no reservations recommending those over a lot. And believe me, I've tried the Jabras. I do. There is one Jabra, though. You didn't like. See, I had a problem with the Jabra, too. They weren't as good as I thought they would be. But, yeah. Because I did like there's one Jabra that actually came over my ear, like at the back of it, and it held it in place really well. I just didn't like the
right.
whole thing. Like,
yeah, the only problem I had with the Jabra was the sound quality wasn't that great, but I kept losing the connection on the left side, and I could never get it to reconnect.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard that before with Jabra, and that's very frustrating, especially with wireless. But that happens with my AirPods
right.
sometimes. I sometimes I go out of my house, I start a run, and next thing you know, one of the AirBuds goes out, and it's like, and it's a whole big thing. I got to go back to my house, and it's a whole big thing. But I hope that helps with some of your thoughts. I would check out the Galaxy Buds for sure. I think that you'll be pretty happy with them, and I'm sure they have a return policy if you're not and it doesn't work out. But I think those are some of the best after the AirPods. Can you believe it? That's going to do it for this show. Thanks so much for listening. For links to anything I talked about, well, take a look at the show notes. But if you listen to the show regularly, you know that I don't actually put anything in there. Maybe I'll start. if you have a question for me, you can find me at richontech.tv. I know this episode was a little bit different, and I'm going to stay online for just a little bit for the Facebook folks, but I got to end the podcast. When people see a podcast that's like 2 hours in their podcast thing, who wants to listen to that? No. So I try to keep it to a certain time, and we're already over. But if you have a question for me, you can go to my website, richontech.tv. If you like this podcast, please rate and review it so other folks can find it. Just go to ratethispodcast.com/richontech. And if you listen, please, share it on social media. Let your friends know. Don't keep this a secret. My name is Rich DeMuro. Thanks so much for listening. On behalf of everyone that helps get this show to your ears, we'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye. Okay. All right. So there's that. All right. Cool. Yeah, I know. Amy says, please add links. All right. Well, very cool. So, okay. Now I can, look at this. Elizabeth, who discovered the stars? Elizabeth discovered the stars. Look at you. How did you discover those? So I got a message from Facebook and they said, you want to test out something new? And I said, sure. And I guess, I don't know, these stars, it's like this new thing they're doing. So apparently you can send people stars on live broadcasts. And I don't know. It's interesting. You're the first person to do it. So thank you, Elizabeth. I think that's you, right? Or is that, let's see. It says it under the person's name, so I'm guessing that was you. So I think that's how that works, but really interesting. Ruben just sent stars. Okay. I don't know. I think I feel bad accepting stars, but I will take them, I guess. So very cool. Thank you, Ruben. Ruben said he was hungry for chocolate chip cookies. And I got to tell you guys, I think I talked about this in the last podcast. Sometimes these podcasts just or these live things just run into each other. The chocolate chip cookies from the DoubleTree thing are so good. And we really had fun with those. Roger says, what is Locast? So Locast is, they run kind of a streaming service, but with over the air channels. And I think that it's kind of operating in a gray area where I'm not sure the big broadcast companies like it because they are charging people to get like commercial free access, not commercial free, I guess. What am I saying? Not commercial free. Like basically if you don't, you're doing a donation so that they can run the service, I guess. And so, I don't know. My mom pays for it. My mom pays for it back in New Jersey for her, local, channels. And it's fantastic. We went from paying, I think it was $65 a month for AT&T TV to just paying $5 a month to Locast. And she gets her channel, her local channel that she likes, and it works 99% of the time. She hasn't really complained about it too much. So I think it's really cool, but I don't think the broadcast companies like it that much because it's kind of going around them, and they get these things called retransmission fees, and I don't think Locast is paying those. So that's what it is. I'm just telling you what it is. I'm not recommending it personally because I can't. Alice says, how are the boys doing staying home? My kids miss being out and about. They're actually doing pretty well. I mean, it's really cute to watch your kids play because it's, I mean, obviously don't get me wrong. There are some really hard days. There are really days like yesterday, amazing day. And we sit there, my wife and I, at dinner, and we just smile and we think the whole world is amazing. And then there's other days where, if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about, you literally think that you're a failure as a parent and everything is wrong. And some days are good, some days are bad. And so yesterday was a good day. Today, I hope, is a good day. I took a 45-minute bike run with my son, and it was a great, great bike run, and it was a great day, and like you feel really good doing that. So, but then some days when you're trying to get them to do their work and they don't want to do it, and you're trying to teach them and all this stuff, it could be a pain. So the boys are actually doing pretty well. They miss their friends. They miss their friends a lot, and so it is tough. And they're doing a lot of Zoom stuff. It's so cute to watch them on Zoom. It's pretty funny. I mean, Zoom is it's just crazy how much Zoom has taken off. All right, I'm looking at some of the questions here you guys are asking. What do you think Sam says about the new Facebook updates from Mark? New features for video calling, messenger chat, and private room. I actually haven't looked at this yet, but I got an email about it. So Facebook announces messenger rooms. So this is a group video calling that allows people to virtually hang out. And they offer all the fun AR effects of messenger and, of course, 360-degree immersive backgrounds, mood lighting, filters. Wow. Zero time restrictions and a Facebook account is not required. Yeah, Facebook is not playing any games, folks. This is a direct assault at Zoom. And here's why Facebook has an advantage and a disadvantage. I think the advantage for Facebook is the fact that everyone knows Facebook. The problem is a lot of people don't trust Facebook. And so as I say that on Facebook right now, I love Facebook. I'm reading the book, the Facebook book right now. Problem with the Kindle, I never know what the books are called that I'm reading. I think it's called The Facebook Effect. Yeah. No, it's not. No, that's not it. That's not the book I'm reading. That was the one that they did about the movie. Facebook book. I don't even know the author of the book because I am – there it is. Facebook, The Inside Story by Stephen Levy. Levy? Stephen Levy? With a Kindle, I never see the I never see the book. So it's not like in my – like I just see the pages. So I never know what I'm reading except like what's in it. But I love Facebook. I really do. I think it is amazing what they've done to connect the world. I think they've had their stumbles. And, yes, with the privacy stuff, it's definitely a concern. But I think that most people and a lot of people have kind of reached their stride with Facebook where they either use it and they like it and they're fine with it. And I do think Facebook has done some stuff in recent months, ever since that whole scandal, to kind of clean up their act just a little bit. So I think what they're doing is pretty cool. But I tried Facebook Messenger when they came out the desktop video app, and it actually did not work very well. So I don't know. I may give this a try, but I feel like Zoom is so ingrained now. Like, it is really tough to get people to use different things. And so when I say, oh, let's meet on Facebook Messenger, you know, whatever, Messenger Rooms, people are like, what is that? Yeah, and Sam says there's end-to-end encryption. That, let me see, is it end-to-end encryption? Let me see. Let me see, because, yeah. Oh, that's on the WhatsApp. I don't see anything about end-to-end on the Messenger Rooms. So they may have end-to-end encryption, which is important. And I think that that is good. We want the more encryption, the better. You know, good for us. Good for people, for privacy. That's for sure, because people are doing all kinds of stuff on these things these days. Courtney says, I have a mid-2012 MacBook Air 8 GB RAM with 500 GB SSD, i7. Is it worth upgrading? Are the newer MacBooks much better? 8 years old, I'd say so, yeah. If you have the money right now and you're in a place to upgrade, I think that you'd be well served. It really depends what you're doing. If it's serving your purpose right now, then you know you don't have to rush out. I mean, why? But if you are noticing that things are slow and your internet and everything it just isn't as good as it could be, then yeah, go for it. I'd say you'd be very well served by a new MacBook Air for sure. Ryan says, today is the failure as a parent day. Uh-oh, Ryan. Sorry to hear that. we've all had them, so we know. I mean, there are some nights when we go to bed, my wife and I, and we're just like, this is literally like, what have we done wrong? And other nights, like literally we had a conversation with our kids the other night, and we're just sitting there at the dinner table, and I just couldn't stop smiling because they were so cute. and the stuff they're talking. I went on a walk with them the other day, and these kids, all they talked about was Minecraft for the entire walk. When I tell you the amount of detail they were going into about Minecraft and building stuff, I was like, if you guys are this passionate about this, about your job in the future, you will be successful, because I just couldn't believe. And they were so excited. They got me to play. So they actually set it up on my iPhone, and I was in their little Minecraft world. And they're so – parents, if you want an easy win with your kids, just get on your iPhone, download Minecraft, get in their world, and walk around and let them give you a tour. You will be a winner as a parent. Courtney says, yes, it can be slow. So, yeah. All right. Well, it looks like everything's slowing down here on the live chat. So I guess you guys are ready to go. I think I am too. What time is it? 3:19. Darlene says, how do I clean my iPhone? Darlene, just go ahead and find one of those Lysol wipes you got at home, as long as it's a newer phone that's water resistant. And squeeze. I like to squeeze out the Lysol wipe because you don't want it soaking wet, but kind of squeeze it out a little bit so it's not super duper soaking wet, and you can just use that to clean your phone. So let's see. Yeah, Apple said don't use one of those wipes for the longest time, and now they say, oh, yeah, no, you can use it. For the longest time, said don't do it. Oh, Darlene says you can't find any wipes. Oh, okay, well, that's a problem. In that case, I would just wipe it down with if you have an alcohol wipe, but you probably can't find that either. Don't use bleach. But, I mean, any of those wipes is probably going to work, you know, as long as it's not like a super crazy thing. Phone soap unit, I know, is sold out. It's so funny. I got the phone soap last year for Christmas. I never even opened it. And I'm like, I don't need this. And of course, now I love it. I put my phone in there like every day. Let's see. Thoughts about Google. Oh, gosh. Well, now we're getting all the questions. Ryan says, I just tried Eero for a wireless mesh. Works pretty well, but some dead spots. Curious if you've seen results with more than three. I did actually have four set up in my house, and my house is not that big, I'll be honest. And the three actually worked better than the four. I think it really has to do with the placement of the three. So experiment with different places around your house. Wi-Fi is just, like I always say this, it was never built to do what we're doing with Wi-Fi. I think Wi-Fi 6 is, but I don't think the original Wi-Fi that we're all using is equipped to do what we're doing, you know. Zooms in every room, all these different devices. So experiment with different placements around your home and see what works the best. Because I thought if I put up a fourth Eero, it would make my internet even better in my office, and actually made it worse. So just be careful. And Eva says, what is what your thoughts are about Google Nest? I love Google Nest, but there's a lot of different products. So you got to be more specific on that one. NFL draft is starting soon. My boys are talking Minecraft, but they're 21 and 23, says Robert. Darlene says, straight alcohol. Do not put vodka on your phone. Don't put vodka on your phone. Rubbing alcohol, yes. But if you're going to use rubbing alcohol, I don't know. What Apple recommends is 70% isopropyl alcohol. So I don't know if that's rubbing alcohol. I got to look, because I think I have 70% alcohol. I'm not sure if that's the same as rubbing alcohol, but whatever you do, take a little bit of that and just a light amount, you know. You don't want to soak your phone in that, right? Let's see. Eva says, now that everyone's working from home, what are your thoughts about the Google Nest router for a stronger? Yes, definitely Google Nest router for sure. Go for it, 100%. I think you'll love that. And then let's see. What's a good affordable hotspot? I don't know about affordable hotspots because they're all just through the company. I mean, the best one is probably on your phone. So if you can just use the hotspot on your phone, I mean, that works. But you just – otherwise, just go to your company. Like, if you have T-Mobile or Verizon or AT&T, and you just kind of have to buy a hotspot from them that works. So Ruben says, will there be a CES next year? I don't know. You know what? I hate to say this, but I'm kind of hoping there isn't, because it's just one less thing I have to go to. I'm kind of enjoying the fact that I – don't have to go to any tech events this year. I mean, I hate to say that, but I've been going to them for like 15 years now, and I'm enjoying the time off. I will admit it. I'm not going to lie. I mean, if there's no CES, I'm not going to sit there and cry. I mean, we're still getting gadgets. And you know what? A lot of this pomp and circumstances is kind of crazy, because until we get our world to a place where we can leave our homes and feel safe, I mean, there's not much else I can think about right now. I mean, it's kind of tough. And Daniel says Orbi makes a cable. Yeah, Orbi also gets high ratings as well, so Orbi is good. And Courtney says basically hand sanitizer. I don't know. The only problem with hand sanitizer is they have other things mixed in. Although I will tell you, I bought some hand sanitizer that I saw at the grocery store just as an impulse because like, oh, I'll just get that. And I will. I swear that this hand sanitizer was made from vodka because it smells like vodka. And I know that these distilleries are making hand sanitizer. I swear I got one of those because it is a weird smell. Pamela says, if you don't have any of those carriers or cable, what would you recommend? I personally would recommend AT&T or Verizon. So I would go AT&T or Verizon, whatever one works better at your house. In my home, AT&T works the best. It is phenomenal. T-Mobile, almost zero, and Verizon works well. But AT&T, and I'm not saying one's better than the other. Believe me, if T-Mobile works at your place, you may have an amazing, you may have an amazing signal from a T-Mobile at your house or Sprint. Get what works in your house. The way you figure that out is you have to have friends come over and see what their phone, do a speed test on their phone. When I was looking at houses to buy or apartments back in the day, the number one thing I would do is a speed test because whatever carrier I had at the time, I would do a speed test. Because if your phone does not work in your house, it's like that's 99% of that's a problem. Let's see. Rich, you have phone numbers on Put On Compassion. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Are people on hold still? No, they're not. Okay. That was actually a small bottle of vodka, Rich. You need to read closer. No, it was not. Okay. All right. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for the stars. I think that's kind of cool. I'm going to look into that and see. Maybe I should promote those more. But thanks for watching, listening, being on with me. This has been fun. And have a fantastic weekend. Happy Friday. And watch something good this weekend. Enjoy with your family. I'm going to make some burgers tonight at the house and enjoy the afternoon in the heat and enjoy my weekend. All right. You guys have a great day. Thanks so much for listening, watching, and playing along. So I will see you all.